I truly believe that the mark of effective leadership is when the organization's values, principles, the initiatives, the operational structures are so sound that they're going to continue with the shift in leadership.
Welcome, everyone, to the Change Starts Here podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Odom. And this week, it's an honor to welcome the superintendent of Warren County Public Schools, Kentucky, Kentucky's fourth largest school district, Mr. Rob Clayton. Rob Clayton's been the superintendent of Warren County Public Schools since 2013. And what I've found through talking to him is that they have over 18,000 students. They have 102 languages spoken in 90 different birth countries, which is crazy. I would never assume that Warren County would have all of that. So it's amazing knowing that background. But really, for me, one of the reasons why that region is famous in my head is the impact of the work they've been doing with our Leader in Me process. Out of the 15 elementary schools in Rob's county, they have 13 are lighthouse schools and 3 are legacy schools, which is our highest award for those schools who have been lighthouse schools for years and years. And so it's just an honor to talk to them. If you've not heard of Warren County or the work that Leader in Me is doing there, I would encourage you to visit it or to look into it. It's just incredibly impactful. And so we are super excited and honored that Rob found time to talk to us. So we dive into leadership today and a number of just fun topics about how to make impact, how to build culture, how to listen well, how to build a team. And so there's a lot of really great nuggets of leadership today. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. If you're a subscriber, thank you for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed, please hit the subscribe button. But obviously, and most importantly, if you listen to anything that Rob's talking about today, please share this if you think it could be helpful to anyone in your life. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening.
Rob, I know it's the end of the day for where you are. Thank you so much for making time for us today. I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's always an honor to talk about leadership.
Well, you, your district, so many people in your district, from some students to leaders, are famous in my world. I've been at Franklin Covey, I guess, for about 12 or 13 years, and I have been privy to kind of watching from afar the hard work your community has put into the impact you've made there with Leader in Me. And so it is a true honor to have you join us here today and to talk to us. So thanks for making time for us.
Thank you. And let me begin by first acknowledging that our collective journey has been led by a number of great people, both inside Warren County Public Schools, but really throughout our community as well. It's truly been a partnership that I'm sure we'll discuss as we continue to have dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into the Leader in Me journey, which I think everybody who has heard of Leader in Me or is peeking over the fence needs to listen to today, I just want to start off with the same question we ask everybody, which is, who are you and what do you love about what you do?
I'm Rob Clayton. I'm in my 11th year as superintendent of Warren County Public Schools here in South Central Kentucky. And really, for me, it's just all about creating opportunities for our students and our staff. We know that when we look out for our students and take care of our staff, we're positioning ourselves to provide the best outcomes for our students when they graduate our schools.
That's great. Well, the conversation is, and I want to dive into your leadership because for those folks who are listening who don't know you, you've been a national superintendent of the year, state superintendent of the year in Kentucky. And from the people that I know who know you, they would tell me that would make you feel awkward to like start talking about your praises because you like to give credit to others versus take it. But it's pretty incredible as someone who has traveled. I've worked in all, Canada and the U.S. for the last 12 years. And there's no other district that I've seen that has 13 lighthouse schools. There's certainly no other district on the planet that has 3 legacy schools, which are schools, for those of you listening, that have at least lighthouse status for 8 years and a few other like innovative practices. And so I'm curious, can you just do your best to go way back to the beginning to say, how did you start this Leader in Me process in Warren County? How did it come about?
Well, let me begin by first just acknowledging up front, humility is not my greatest strength, but trying to keep it real is. And what I mean by that, it truly is on the heels and the backs of so many people. I think any leader knows that in the complex organization piece, but then also the world that we live in, you really have to surround yourself with very talented people. It's a simple recipe, but obviously takes some effort and in some cases some time. So again, I genuinely want to express just really how fortunate I have been to work with such talented folks, people who are completely driven to do what's best for our students. And in addition to that, I have to acknowledge that when I was named superintendent back in 2013, the Leader in Me program was well off and running in Warren County Public Schools. It was not on the minds of not only myself, but probably a lot of people outside of the organization. And so when I became superintendent, I dove in pretty quick with the Leader in Me because I've always been a big believer that if any individual demonstrates effective leadership, they're going to demonstrate all these soft skills that are so important for future success. Now, I do also want to mention, though, I was serving as a middle school principal back in 2013 prior to coming here. And literally on the back of my desk, I had a pamphlet on the Leader in Me. There was a showcase that was coming to Western Kentucky University. I still remember that vividly to this day. And so it was a summer project to look at going into the next year. I think we had a school or two there in Oldham County where I came from that had already began that venture. And then when I came here, it was really inspiring to see that after my first year, we had our first lighthouse school. So I think it's really important to recognize and understand that when I came in, we were a few years down the road and we really had passionate leaders in our schools that took the ball and ran with it, and justifiably so, because when you see the impact that the focus on leadership, the seven habits, has on students and staff in your community, it's really hard for me to understand why any entity wouldn't want to at least make it a strand of how they operate. And I feel like that's what you would find if you came into Warren County Public Schools today.
Yeah. So I guess for me, I mean, I like I told you, I predated this whole, I mean, even your work predated mine within the Leader in Me in your county. And I find that a lot of superintendents who come in, even if it's a great process or a great program, they want to put their own stamp on it and they will discontinue a lot of those. And so I'm curious, what was it about the impact or what impact are you hoping to still have that made you say, we need to keep going this route. We don't want to run away from it.
There's probably a number of factors. Obviously, the initiative speaks for itself, in my opinion, so that wasn't a big leap. But I find it interesting you mentioned about when new leadership comes in, they want to immediately or at some point put their stamp on the organization. And a lot of times what you'll find is it's through programs. That's not me. And really the reason is I truly believe that the mark of effective leadership is when the organization's values, principles, the initiatives, the operational structures are so sound that they're going to continue with the shift in leadership. And the best example I can give you, and I've shared this publicly with a number of folks, we're highly focused on leadership, right? There's going to be a new leader in Warren County Public Schools at some point, and they're going to be faced with, do we continue to emphasize leadership in all aspects of the organization? Well, my response to that is, when, in terms of a point in time, was leadership not important? Go back into the 1800s, which, you know, obviously we only can read about it in books. My point is, I think you would find the things that we do here in Warren County, for the most part, we try to focus on things that will transcend time. And I'm of the firm belief, and I believe our entire organization has a similar belief, that leadership's always going to be critical. Leadership is not a title. Unfortunately, that's what most people will come to think of when that's mentioned, but it's far beyond that. And we want leaders in all strands of our organization, because we know that if we're going to achieve the educational outcomes, our objectives, then we have to have a culture in which people are trying to help each other be right, a culture where people are focused on what we truly value. And when I say we, it is we, because we asked our community, we asked our staff, we asked our students, what should we value in Warren County Public Schools? And we have 7 actions of excellence that demonstrate and reflect what it is that we're about as an organization.
So when you think about the impact, you just talked about culture, the 3 areas that, you know, we've tried to put a flag down in are culture, leadership, and academics. So when you talk about culture, I think about staff and student culture. And when you think about it, since your last 11 years there, 10, 11 years, what have been the biggest success stories or biggest impact that you've noticed for staff culture throughout your district and student culture throughout your district?
I think we've been successful in building upon the creation of student-centered learning environments. But when we do that, we have to understand who's going to create that. Is it the superintendent? Is it the district office? Is it the board? Is it the principal? And the reality is, it's the teachers on the front line. Now, you need leadership to be a guiding force in that. But I think when I look at the culture piece, and it kind of goes back to your previous comment, if you establish the right culture, then again, when you have leadership changes, that culture should be so well ingrained into the operational aspects of the organization, how you communicate with one another, to a point where if there is a change in leadership and there's a shift, we'll have a staff that says, hold on, is this really what we value? Is this really where we want to go? But I think at the end of the day, it's not rocket science what ingredients are evident when you look at a strong organizational culture, whether it's education or outside of education. And that's really been my focus, is trying to approach all of our work from a leadership standpoint. I had a conversation this morning. We're looking at some programming changes with how we serve our English language learners. We have a high population of English language learners in our district, continues to grow significantly. And we're constantly evaluating how well we're performing or how well our students are performing. But in that discussion, I wanted to be very clear that whatever changes we make will be determined by the people who have the expertise to make that happen. Now, where I came into the conversation is I wanted to ensure that when we make a difficult decision or a significant decision, let's not let anything other than the decision be the focus. Okay, what does that mean? Well, from my standpoint, it's how you communicate that decision, the steps you take to determine that decision, because it's been my experience that when a decision is made, initially, you'll have some that are totally supportive. You may have some that are kind of on the fence. Well, let's not let the timing of the decision, let's not let the process, a lot of times it's the process. People don't like a decision, and rather than just focus on, well, I disagree with your decision, they'll add, well, the process created part of my dilemma with the decision. Maybe the process was done in such a way that it didn't create trust. Well, if that is the case, then you know you're going to have individuals that are questioning the decision, just because of a simple thing called trust. So one of the things we really try to do when we're embarking upon these big decisions, important decisions, critical decisions, is to ensure that you have the right people at the table and then you're communicating along the way. Don't let the lack of communication, miscommunication, or non-transparent, don't let that be a part of the challenge. Because again, when you make tough decisions, at least initially, you're going to have some resistance. And sometimes that's very healthy.
I completely agree. That's one thing. I mean, you said a couple of things that we agree with. One, that leadership's not about a position. Two, building a strong culture is all about trust. And three, it's, you know, giving people a voice in the process, right? It doesn't mean they're going to get to make all the decisions, but being at the table and having a voice creates a lot of trust. I'm curious, how have you, either as a district or how have you seen your schools utilize student voice to make better decisions for schools or for your district?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's something over the last 3 or 4 years we've really tried to emphasize. You know, I look at it more at the surface level. If you foster and encourage that student voice, you're building confidence, you're raising self-esteem, you're positioning students when they become young adults to be able to advocate for themselves, to be able to advocate for others. So that student voice, the human voice, really is a critical component when you think about how we're going to interact in our world for the rest of our lives, not just in our school. So we're empowering students. And again, these things aren't new. We're not successful with all students. But I think what you would find is there's a heavy emphasis on positioning our students where they use their voice in a productive way. We all know the polarizing times that we're living in. We're not immune to that here in Warren County. But I trust if you spoke with our staff, if you spoke with our students, much of what's going out there in the world, we've really been able to distance ourselves from that and keep the focus on, again, these essential skills, these essential concepts that we want our students to be able to understand and demonstrate, and then really help them grow. And we're trying to do that with our adults as well. No secret right now. I'm glad that's always been an emphasis, because we're now facing a critical workforce shortage. And even though when we survey our staff, which we've done every year since I've been here, in terms of their employee engagement, those results continue to rise. But yet, the challenges they're facing are continuing to rise as well. And I can only think, or wonder, I should say, what would those results be if we weren't so intentional from day one in ensuring that our staff know that they're the key piece, and we want to lift them up. And we know that if that occurs, we're going to lift our students up in the end.
Well, it sounds like, so one of the key challenges that I think it used to be more focused on urban and rural areas is those teacher shortages or challenges. I think it's everywhere in the United States now. And I'm sure you can attest to that by talking to your superintendent friends as well. It seems like, you know, Leader in Me for you all can attack that by giving voice and choice to the teachers and building positive school cultures where they feel joy, purpose, and inspiration. What other challenges have you guys faced as a district over the last 10, 11 years? And how has the Leader in Me process helped impact overcoming those challenges?
Well, we've definitely had a number of challenges, both at the adult level and then certainly in the legislative area as well. But in terms of challenges in which our Leader in Me, well, let me just back up. When you think of the Leader in Me, we're talking about the 7 habits of highly effective people. Of course, we're venturing into the 8th habit, right? And finding your voice. The bottom line is those habits, okay, if implemented and focused upon properly, will help mitigate some of the challenges that you face, right? And in an organization where you have 3,000 staff, 18,000 plus students, one of the things we often talk about as a leadership group is leading in such a way where we're not adding to the challenges and we're helping mitigate, all right? And the first thought that comes to mind, again, is being proactive, is understanding what do we need to be thinking about, what do we need to be doing now to mitigate some of these unnecessary challenges that, quite frankly, in a poor-run organization, it just becomes the daily norm. And we can't function that way. And so there's a lot of emphasis in this district about being proactive, about communicating effectively. And what does effective communication look like? It's not just sharing information, right? If the message hasn't been heard, then you've not effectively communicated. And so we've raised that bar as we have with the expectations for students and staff in terms of the implementation of the 7 habits, the Leader in Me, and then again, providing these opportunities for students that, quite frankly, sometimes amaze me. It's remarkable. We're having students do things as early as kindergarten, but certainly third, fourth grade, speaking in front of hundreds of people and doing it with more confidence than, quite frankly, maybe half the adult population. And that also serves as a model for their peers. And, you know, one of the other things I think about, peer-to-peer interactions. All right, I'll go back and answer your question now. I would say that's a challenge that every school has really struggled with, not just in the last decade, right? I mean, that's part of what schools are. We bring in students that don't, some cases, don't know how to interact respectfully or behave respectfully at all times. And that's part of it. I didn't either. I had to learn. And so we're fostering that. But here we have this mechanism. It's not a program, this mechanism that fits right in line with us and trying to create a respectful and professional environment, both for staff and students. So I think the fact that that has been a focal point, the leader and me, for more than a decade now, really gives me tremendous confidence that we've been able to mitigate some of the challenges that perhaps we would have had to really battle in terms of that peer-to-peer interaction. Because when you're emphasizing the leader in me, you're emphasizing all day long about the importance of being respectful, the importance of showing empathy. You know, I think about some of the activities I've seen that I know are directly related to the implementation of the leader in me. We've had pep rallies for a student that had overcome a really tremendous disability in a hallway of a school. Well, showing tremendous empathy that day, students coming together, staff coming together, synergizing together, right? And then celebrating that particular student. So I think because it's become operational in most of our schools, we have 23 schools where it's expanded to the high school, but we have a tremendous area for growth at that secondary level. But of course, you know, 13 of our 15 elementary schools now being Lighthouse, we're certainly very proud that it's really evolved district-wide.
Yeah, that's incredible. I would, you know, I'm curious whether it's leader me or not, most big implementation processes don't last longer than 3 to 5 years in many districts. What are the foundational pieces to building any sort of implementation that lasts 10 or more years like you guys have with Leader in Me?
I think one goes back to your earlier reference to when a superintendent comes in. I think messenger matters, and I'm going to go a little different here. One would assume the messenger, when you do a district-wide initiative, needs to be the CEO, or in this case, the superintendent. And that does, or that position does need to be a part of that. But here's what I found. If the messenger is the CEO or the leader, when that individual leaves, so does that message. And so one of the things we're very strategic, not just with the leader and me, but any initiative that we have implemented, we have always tried to consider who needs to be the messenger, and let's ensure that those folks are a part of the process. Leader and me, the messenger also is our business and industry leaders. We have a tremendous chamber, second to none, could serve as a model for the nation in terms of at least the community partnerships with our schools. And so with that, we have so many stakeholders involved, there's a number of messengers. If there was only one or two, when those people move on, there's a great likelihood so does the initiative. And I'm extremely confident because we have multiple messengers from the very beginning. Our business community says we want this. Our chamber says we want this. Our industry leaders, we want this. Well, guess what? When parents became exposed to this and saw what their kids were sharing when they came home, when they come to our schools and see students, you know, modeling not just young adult behaviors. I mean, we have some students that model experienced adult behaviors, right? And so they see the value. And to me, when you create that, now you have an opportunity for something to be sustainable. And again, I'll go back to, when will there be a time when leadership should not be a focal point? When will there be a time when you don't want your son or daughter to be able to demonstrate effective leadership? And I would argue that'll never come.
Absolutely. So last question about Leader Me, and then I want to talk to you about your personal leadership philosophy. If there's a superintendent, I'm sure you've had people call you and say, what is this Leader Me thing about? What should I consider? What advice do you generally give people in regards to their trying to make the best decision on should they implement Leader Me or how should they best go about implementing Leader Me?
Well, since I don't want to come across as a salesperson, I have had a number of those calls. I really kind of keep it short and simple that if you don't implement the Leader in Me, you've got to find a way to make leadership a focal point in your organization. Now, in saying that, I'm not sure what entities out there that can help you because you have to expedite it, right? I mean, we're teaching kids today. We can't just plan for 5 years from now. And so our partnership with Franklin Covey ensured that we had the resources along the way to begin with immediate impact. And then, as you can tell, just in the celebrations we've had, a number of our schools have been on a expedited path, I guess, so to speak, time frame to really achieve some of these, the lighthouse and certainly the legacy status.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. I think, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to reach out to you is that you've been recognized recently as a National Superintendent of the Year and a State Superintendent of the Year. When you think about your leadership philosophy, what are the components of what drives you as a leader every day and what makes you most successful as a leader every day?
It's always tough to kind of narrow down. I think there's a few things that really resonate. I've just always believed that, an effective leader will have followers, right? You can't lead if people don't follow. And so then I've always tried to look at what causes people not to follow. You know, is it a power or authority situation? Well, the answer is sometimes. So then I've tried to lead in such a way that it's not about power and authority for me. It's not about titles. It's about finding the right landing spot. And I think there's probably a few in the district that are probably tired of hearing the right landing spot, but that's the finish line, right?
Right.
We have to find the right landing spot. So then how do we do it? Trying to be strategic in that, always trying to identify, well, who would resist this? Just if I were to implement, which I did not initiate the Leader in Me, but if I were, the first thing that I would be thinking about is who's going to resist? And then why? And make sure, because if you can target that group, and again, you don't know who they are, but if you can target that in your implementation, then I think you're going to find yourself in a much better position to succeeding in the overall initiative, as opposed to trying to address that along the way. So we do try to get out in front in terms of identifying, you know, what might cause someone to resist. I share this often. I don't know what the most important leadership skill is, but I'm absolutely 100% convinced there's nothing more important than effective communication. I learned that as a middle school principal, sitting in my desk late on a Friday afternoon, just kind of decompressing and really trying to prepare for Monday of the next week. And it dawned on me that literally every situation that caused pain for me that week, right? We use the term pain point, but every situation for that particular week came down to some form of communication. Either it was an issue that was created because there was a lack of communication, miscommunication. And so what I have tried to do from that day forward is really keep that as a focus in how we lead in terms of, you know, we hear all the terms transparent and so forth, but just being forthcoming with information and then asking, see, it would be a lot more difficult for me to lead this district if I had to try to figure out everything I need to communicate or need to be effective in. Well, we've created a culture where I expect my cabinet members, our directors, and our principals, they're expected to let us know. if there's a concern or a question about, and they're expected to do it before we fail. That's that think win-win, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm not a gotcha leader. I certainly don't want to be around, surrounded by folks that are, you know, wanting to watch, you know, me fail or watch someone else. Because if you want to see me fail, then from my perspective, you probably want to see others too. And so maybe we're not the right organization. So we spend a lot of time, at least as a leadership team, discussing and reminding each other, part of our role is to help each other be right. And I think when you build a culture where people know the expectation is, we're going to help each other be right, we're going to collaborate with one another, we're going to identify the unintended consequences before they happen. Those are critical. I share with new principals when we hire them. We've hired a little over 25 since I've been here, and I remind them that I don't know how many landmines you can step on as a leader and continue to lead, because not all landmines are the same. But here's what I can tell you. It's a limit, right? And so part of your role in being successful is positioning yourself where you can identify those pitfalls beforehand, hopefully steer clear of them, or if you got to go through it, be in a position where you can let people know, we got to go through this. I'm acknowledging it, but here's why. And so those are the things that really resonate. When we talk about the communication piece, we've really focused in the last 5-6 years on explaining the why. That was something that I don't know early on in my career. I really spent a lot of time thinking on. And I think part of it was because the messenger didn't matter to me. As a teacher, if my superior, I do it, right?
Right.
I never questioned, okay, do I? Do? But unfortunately, that's not the norm for a lot of folks. And that's fine. There's admirable aspects of that too, right? Sometimes those people are willing to take more risk. Maybe they're, you know, more self-confident. So those aren't bad because we want people to share those other perspectives. But those are the things that mostly resonate. But you know this, you have to model the way. Yep. You can talk a good game for about a year. I tell people the needle will move, that it'll move. If you say the right things, you'll see progress. Achievement goes up, no doubt. But years 2, 3, and 4, if you were just talking it, you're not going to sustain it. It's the actions that are going to sustain any improvement.
That's why your district is so incredible to me in terms of just as an outsider, you know, looking in, right? So I've not been there but one time. That was probably 9-10 years ago. But the fact that you have three legacy schools. Legacy schools are schools that have built systems of success that are not about the individual leader, but are systems. You have 13 lighthouse schools that are building systems of success. So it's about being and walking something, not just talking the talk. And so that's the part that inspires me is, you know, anyone could do something, like you said, for a day, 2 years, 3 years, even 5 years sometimes, but 10 years is unheard of across the landscape. And so that's why I got so excited to talk to you and about what you guys are doing there, that I think anybody listening to this should be studying and trying to figure out what are the key ingredients that you guys are doing. And when you talk about communication, you know, I've interviewed hundreds of people. I feel like at this point, I've heard people talk about the power of communication, but sometimes it sounds like it's just the leader talking a lot. And you've said 3 times even before this and earlier questions of how you've listened to others. You've wanted to hear dissenting opinions. It's okay to have dissenting opinions. Now, to your point, a leader has to recognize sometimes that dissent can actually grow to be very unhealthy and you have to fix that. But you don't start there. You try to figure out where people are coming from. And so it's no surprise to me you guys have been successful when you're able to listen to different points of view and try to get to a better outcome. And so I just thank you for your leadership for that.
Well, that's very kind of you. My wife might question how well I listen, but
my wife too.
Here's what I know. She's probably going to love me either way, but my colleagues, they won't, right? They're not going to be as forgiving. But the reality is that is a key piece. And if the end game is what matters most, and that's the opportunities that we can create for our students when they graduate, I just don't see another path toward achieving that. Again, if you don't have that collective voice in your organization, the only thing we ask is just share it with us professionally, right? Don't make me feel stupid because maybe I misspoke or maybe we made a poor decision. But I'm going to tell you this, it's rare you're going to miss the mark if you got the right people at the table. I mean, it's just rare. I don't spend a lot of time worrying about once we've made a decision, was it the right decision? I also would share that most decisions, if you have the right people at the table, they're not difficult to make. In fact, I think the vast majority are really easy to make. Now, that doesn't mean they're not painful. Okay. That doesn't mean there's not hardship with it. But where you need to go or what direction you need to steer toward, in most cases, is pretty clear. If you're keeping the focus on your students and, oh, by the way, your staff too, right? You got to take care of your staff because they're the ones that are actually moving the needle with the students. It's not me. They're the ones rolling their sleeves up and making it happen. And in many cases, under tremendous sacrifice.
Absolutely. Before we get to the rapid fire questions, I do want to ask, what are the key questions you ask yourself or you want your leaders asking themselves to help them best get the right people in a room for any big decision they need to make?
Well, to me, you just pick up the phone and call. Honestly, I always think, who needs to be at this table? And I've always asked other people. And then again, I'm imploring them, you know, please be honest with me and share this with me. We had that discussion this morning as we're looking at our EL program. I won't even be at the table. I don't need to be. Okay. Now, I want to be at the table for the decisions made. But in terms of I'm not on the front lines, I'm not experiencing some of these challenges and seeing how we can improve things per se in that individual programmatic piece. Now, with that, as long as we have asked that question, who needs to be here? And that's what we did this morning. You know, we looked and I'll tell you, as a prime example, very fluid and so forth. And that is, we had a community member, because as I mentioned, we were at a community council member meeting, and she stayed back. And that was one of the comments that I shared. She needs to be a part of this meeting. She's one that has a really strong presence in our community and understanding what it's like to grow up in Bowling Green as an international individual, not speaking the language, at least initially. And so it's just, again, asking who needs to be at that table, and then hopefully people will take the time to help you figure out who those people need to be.
That's great. Yeah, I think, like you said, so many people don't want to do the legwork of trying to figure out who should be at the table, and they operate out of efficiency over effectiveness. Effectiveness may take a little bit longer, but like you said, as a middle school principal, most of the headaches that you get come from the lack of communication or a lack of clear communication and consistent communication. So taking the time up front to make the calls like you do and get the right people at the table will save everyone a lot of time and headaches and heartaches later, right?
Yeah. I tell you, I've often said, and of course, I'm not the creator of this. This is a well-known phrase, but when you mandate, you mandate compliance, and compliance leads to mediocrity. That's not effective leadership. So we have very few mandates in this district. In fact, I'll even ask our folks from time to time just to affirm that we don't, and we don't. But the key to effective leadership is inspiring excellence, right? And so you want to inspire people to want to either represent your values that you hold dear, or you want individuals to want to lead the initiative, right? And so we spend a lot of time talking as leaders about how do you create the conditions where people will want to do the work, as opposed to you having to come out and mandate it. And I'll go a step further on the communication piece, because here is one of our mandates. I've often asked our folks to never put anything negative in writing. All right. And the reason's real simple. it's difficult to measure tone in context. So I tell them, unless you're telling someone how much you love them, how great they are, or factual information, pick up the phone and call. Well, that's that efficiency. We've got folks thinking, you know, and you know where I learned this? I mean, it wasn't reading a book. It was when teachers were communicating to parents. And through that writing, I saw a couple instances where I knew this teacher, the teacher's sweet as could be, but because of poor word choice, and really it was just depth of words, the parent took it wrong. So now guess what? I got a phone call, she's got a phone call, and I'm sitting there. All you had to do is pick up the phone. And so it is much more efficient to do that. And plus you're making connections with the parent. So it's little examples like that, that I think need to be out there so people can see that you can individually help shape this culture through your actions. So again, that's one of our things is do not put anything negative in writing. I know some people that will watch this and, okay, what about evaluations? Well, again, when you do an evaluation, you're going to be sitting in front of the person, right? And sharing and explaining, that's different. The reason it's not that there's, you know, this sin to put something in writing that's negative. It's we're trying to create a culture where we don't need these unnecessary distractions, because in many cases, they didn't mean that. Okay. They're just what? They're short. They're a little curt, but they're not upset. Well, guess what? Now the person who read it is upset.
Right.
And so again, just one little strategy that we try to remind all of our people to not do that. And I think for the most part, it's something that our people practice.
I love it. My team makes fun of me all the time for being a phone person over a text and email person. It's because of that very purpose of, I don't want anything to be misconstrued. And so especially the, like you said, anything negative, even if it's not negative, but anything direct can be taken a certain way via text or email. I'd rather you hear and know my tone and my intent, because a couple of times where I've tried to send a quick text, it's created way more headaches than that one quick phone call could have done. Well, all right, I got to get you out of here. Rapid fire questions. Everyone knows them that listens. What's a habit or discipline you use on a daily or weekly basis to help you be the best version of yourself?
Especially from a professional standpoint, it's very common for me to think the win-win, in other words, because if you can keep that at the forefront, then I think what you'll find, any initiative, any work, you make it to the finish line. You've explained, you've shared the why, you understand that when you make tough decisions, sometimes it can't be all or none in terms of having a positive impact on your culture. And so I think one of the best examples is when the expectation we have for each other to help me be right. If you're focused on helping me be right, then obviously we get to the right landing spot, I win. Well, I'm going to reciprocate that. And there's going to be times where you're going to need that level of support, or there's going to be times where we need to be thinking about you when we make this decision. So that's the one that really resonates probably as much, that and being proactive. You know, if you're not proactive as a leader, you're going to be chasing a lot of fires. We use that term firefighter, and you can't lead if you're out just running around and fighting fires. You have to be in a position to where you can kind of like the air traffic controller. And sometimes that's tough, but you got to know all the balls that are juggling in the air. You got to know which direction they're going, and then keep that focus where it needs to be and not on these trivial things that really just serve as distractions.
Absolutely. All right. What's a book that you've either read recently or throughout your career that you like to recommend to other leaders?
Well, you don't think I would be on a Covey call and not mention a Covey book, right?
You don't have to do that.
Probably. You know, it's funny, when Sean was here, I had not read the book, and I went through and read it, The Four Disciplines of Execution. But it was interesting how so much of that, we use the four steps. I wasn't nearly articulate enough to say the four disciplines, but we use the steps here that, you know, you define the goal or the objective, whatever it is. develop a process to achieve that, and then monitor that process, and then hold people accountable. That's really our four-step process on a 3,000-foot level in terms of how we try to operate when, you know, we're looking at intervention or we're looking at improving writing proficiency scores or reading scores. You know, what is the goal? What's the objective? And then get that process in place, monitor. And I like to often point out that when you monitor, in many cases, you don't even have to do that. If you build the right culture, your people will monitor it for you. They'll let you know we're off the tracks.
Yeah, especially kids. If you get them in the game, they somehow are the best at holding adults accountable to those type of things.
That's something.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
This song or this question, I probably should have prepped you even more for, but it's a question I love to ask because my kids are big baseball fans. We live in St. Louis, so we're Cardinals fans. They love thinking about what people's walk-up songs are. And so I promised them I would change my music question to what would be a walk-up song that you'd want to use right now?
Oh, my. Yeah, you really stumped this guy. I'm trying to cheat here and look at my iPod list here. Wow. Walk-up song. I'm trying to think. How much time we got? You know, I'll just go with my favorite song, Beautiful Day, You Too. It always makes me feel good. That's my ringtone when my wife calls me. But there's just something about that maybe I need that so I'm not too negative. But
I love it.
Beautiful Day.
Yeah, and the way I look at the walk-up song is something to like break your whatever you could be doing right now. And I'm making a playlist for this. Is whatever could be happening, it snaps you back into the mindset that you need to have in order to be the best version of yourself. So I love that. And You Too is phenomenal. All right, last question. What's some advice that, you know, you were in meetings all day today, in community meetings. So it could be something that you garnered from today or something recently that's this leadership advice that has impacted you personally that you want to share with others. Something that you've chewed on for your own leadership or just some witty thing you came across that was something that was impactful that you're like, that made me stop and think for a second.
Yeah, there's a number of that come to mind, but I'm going to lean on my father who's still with me today. And that is, if you like yourself, you better surround yourself with great people. And that's something that he shared with me when I was very young, probably too young to be shared with, or at least from an understanding standpoint. Right.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you, it is so true. I think about the complexity of the work that, is really in, required, if you will, in ensuring that every student is achieving at their highest level. As you mentioned earlier, becoming the best version of themselves. It's part skill, it's part art to create those conditions where kids can excel. But I think at the end of the day, if you don't surround yourself with great people, I don't know that any individual has the capacity, if you will, to make the impact that our kids need. I think the work that we do is critical. I truly do. And so I think surrounding yourself with the best people positions you. Now, you got to be collaborative too, right? You can't just send them on their way. Certainly that's one that continues to resonate with me each and every day.
That's great. Well, Rob, I know we haven't known each other long enough for you to know the sincerity when I say it is really an honor to, one, watch your district, your schools, your community do this work from afar. I think you're changing not just lives in your own area, but definitely. I remember when there was the Rolling in the Deep song that came out of that region somewhere from a student, and it was getting passed around to every school I went to all across the country. And so I know that's just a little bit of leadership, but that little fire or that little spark has started fires lots of places. And I just think I'm so impressed just by the quality and the longevity of impact there. And so it's an honor to talk to you, and I really appreciate you making time for us today.
Well, I really appreciate the kind words, and I know the song. That was when I first came in, and Jana did an unbelievable job. I do want to just reiterate that the example here in this community, it was a collaborative effort. Our chamber deserves a lot of credit. When I first met with them, I told them to challenge us, you know, keep us pushing. You talked about sustainability. Well, that's one of the things you have to have. You have to be pushed. And so I challenged them to do that, which I'm sure kind of floored them, because usually schools aren't wanting an outside entity to challenge. But I knew the value, right? I knew the impact and the investment. This yep. community raised, you know, more than $1 million to say this is important. Well, let me tell you, a community puts that kind of focus in there. That tells you that they get it. And I'm proud of the fact that it has continued to grow. But just know that this began well before me. It's really a district that's always had a board of education that works well together, focused on kids, and has had leadership. You know, I followed a long line of really talented and caring people, and just feel very fortunate to have been here the last decade or so.
Well, we appreciate you. We appreciate your community very much. So again, Rob, thanks for making time for us today. Have a great day. Okay.
Thank you. Nice talking with you.